Matthew chapter 9. The message today is some questions asked by Jesus about himself. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 27. And as Jesus passed by from thence, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Have mercy on us, thou son of David. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They say unto him, Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus strictly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. Now, chapter 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, who is in heaven. In John chapter 21, verse 15, So when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs, and look at verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that the Lord Jesus can search our souls, and we are glad that from the experiences of others, our souls can be saved, and we can be delivered from the things that brought destruction upon men who would not answer his questions. Our Father, we are aware of what is essential if these things are going to be accomplished in our lives. And so by thy Spirit, our Father, prepare the hearts of those who are listening. Empower the lips of him who speaks. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Of the many questions asked by our Lord, these three are most important because they are questions he asked about himself, and even one wrong answer to any one of these questions will mean no salvation for your soul. You're liable to think, as some men do, what do I have to be saved? What do you have to do? Why, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But James tells us that it is faith working. And Paul says the same thing. Faith working. And because of that, the three questions the Lord Jesus asks these people are essential for their salvation, and eventually you must stand before God and give the answer to these questions. And the remarkable thing is this, that no one can give the answer to these questions unless he is enabled of God. So listen to them. What are they? There is a question about his identity. The Lord Jesus himself asked, "Whom do you say that I am?" Here it's euphonious in the King James. Instead of "who do I say that I am," it's "whom do I say that I am?" And so he's asking about his person, his identity. The second question was this. You've come and you want your eyes opened. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Here, a question is asked about the ability of the Lord Jesus to open blind eyes. And the third question is this. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And then Simon gives his answer. And so there are three questions. A question about his identity, his person. A question about his power, his ability. And a question about his worthiness. Do you love me? And all are essential. Listen to it and see just why. The Gospel of John is written for a specific reason, and that is that you may learn the identity of Jesus, and learning it, be saved. It says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." If you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you have no life. The life is in his name, who he is. The second question is this. Do you believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to perform miracles? And if you say, "No, I believe in a Savior of love, a Savior that assists man in his needs, but I do not believe that Jesus is able to perform miracles," then you are lost. Why? For the simple reason that in 1 Corinthians 15, when the question is asked about the resurrection of the dead, it says, "If Jesus has not been raised, then you are still in your sins. And if the Savior has not this power, this ability, to open eyes, to raise the dead, then there's no hope for you because your sins are not forgiven." And the third is this. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you cannot say, "I do love the Lord Jesus," and confirm that love, you are lost. Listen to what Paul says. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." So, if you do not love the Lord Jesus, you are lost. If you do not believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are lost. And if you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you are lost. Ultimately, every babe in Christ must come to the conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, some, immediately upon meeting the Savior, arrive at that conclusion. Some, soon after. Some, months after. Some, years after. Let me show you. When Nathanael comes to see the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks the question, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And they say to him, "Come and see." And the Lord Jesus speaks a few sentences to him. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Philip said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He came to that conviction, why, in a few moments of time. Another, when our Savior opened the man's eyes in John 9, the one who was born blind, he was ignorant of the person of Christ. He was groping to try to give an explanation of who it was that opened his eyes. The point is this, what was so important, though he did not know to perfection who Jesus was, he stood up for the Lord Jesus. And he said, "Why, herein is the marvel, that a man opened my eyes. He must be from God." And they cast him out. It says, the Lord Jesus found him and asked him this question, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" The Lord Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. You see how quickly he came to the conclusion that the one who opened his eyes was the Son of God? Others, it takes months. And the Lord Jesus does not ask that question of those immediately who cannot answer it. Our Savior, after being in the presence of his disciples for many months, at an appropriate time and place, asks the question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they give him answers. Why, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That is not sufficient. The Lord Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." And therefore, a man cannot comprehend who Jesus is unless it is revealed unto him by the Father in heaven. That is why I told you that the correct answer to every question Jesus asks is miraculous, and it must be an enabling by the Father. The Lord Jesus said in John 6, when he's speaking and they are murmuring and they are being stumbled, the Lord Jesus said, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him." And therefore, it is not that you're going to be interested in Christ and desirous to know who he is unless the Father draws you. And when the Father draws you and you see who Jesus is, that is why the gospel was written. "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." But you will never know who Jesus is until it is revealed to you by the Father. Listen, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." And you will not believe in the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ unless it is revealed to you by the Father. And you will not love the Lord Jesus Christ unless it is given to you of the Father. Some think that because of their inherent love and goodness and appreciation of Jesus, God is going to accept them. But they forget this scripture. We love him because he first loved us. You will never love the Lord until he first loves you. And you're not able to love unless God miraculously imparts that ability into your heart. And so, if you cannot tell me eventually and ultimately who Jesus Christ is, then you're lost. Why? He said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And the very question that Jesus asked of men, men ask of Jesus. They say to him, who are you? And he said, I am everything that I've told you from the beginning. I'm altogether the one that I've been telling you about from the beginning. Therefore, it is not that men are in darkness and have not been told about the Lord Jesus Christ, but having been told about the Lord Jesus, they cannot accept who he is because they will not yield themselves to the Father that they might understand. When the Lord Jesus tells men who he is, two things happen. They hate him, they reject him, they want to kill him. And he says, why are you doing this? And twice it tells us. It says in John chapter 5, for this cause the Jews also were desirous to stone the Lord Jesus Christ, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Do you understand this? That when Christ said, God is my Father in that unique way, he made himself equal with God. The second is this. In John chapter 10, they asked the Lord Jesus, how long do you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us. And the Lord Jesus said, I told you, and you did not believe me. And they're going to stone him. And he says, why are you going to stone me? For what good work are you going to stone me? They said, not for a good work, because you being a man, make yourself God. And it was absolutely true. You must understand this, that the Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And they could see that he was a man, but they could not comprehend that he being a man was God. And when it says he made himself God, it is not that he tried to turn himself into something that he wasn't, but by the words that he used describing himself, they knew that he was claiming equality with God. And that's what Paul tells us, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And this is what Christ told men when he was on earth, and that is the question that is asked of Peter and is asked of you and all men. What say ye of Christ? Who is Christ? Tell me, what is this one who came from heaven? And unless you are able to say, the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you are not saved. Why? Because John 20 says this, many other signs truly did Jesus which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. All the miracles that Christ performed, that John gives us, are to enable you to believe who Jesus is, the Son of God. And being the Son of God, he is equal with God. And it says, if you believe that, then you have life. And if you do not believe it, you do not have life. That is why any Jehovah's Witness, any Unitarian, anyone who denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he has no life in himself. That's why John's Gospel was written. That is what the Lord Jesus, throughout the lives of his apostles, was seeking to bring to a head. He wanted to eventually ask them, whom do you say that I am? And then, if they had been taught of the Father, they give this answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If not, you will never be able to give that answer. The Lord Jesus said this, when he's looked at men and he's seen their rejection, their refusal to receive him, even though he's done so many signs before them, he says, All power is given unto me. All things have been delivered unto me by my Father. And no man knoweth the Son save the Father. And you do not know the Father unless the Lord Jesus reveals the Father unto you. The Father must reveal the Son to you, and the Son must reveal the Father to you. And it is impossible for you to grasp who Jesus is apart from a revelation from heaven, because the Lord Jesus said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And therefore, if you are going to discover who Jesus is, it will be because it is revealed unto you of the Father. And so, if from your heart and in truth you can say, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the correct answer to the first question. And it may mean that you're saved. But if it is the correct answer from your heart, then inevitably the questions that are asked after that you will answer correctly, because not one of them can be answered incorrectly, and you truly be a child of God. The Lord Jesus, on an occasion, was followed by two blind men. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus, the one? The Lord Jesus had a question for him. It was a question more logical than the one asked of these two blind men. He said to blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. That I can understand. But here are two blind men, and having any knowledge of Christ, we know not where it came from. And the Lord Jesus says to them when they come in the house, without asking them what they want, isn't it evident? If a man comes to be healed and he's blind, I know what healing he wants. He wants his eyes open. And so the Lord Jesus does not even ask these men what they want. But he says this, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. And the Savior said, according to your faith be it done unto you. And he touched their eyes, and immediately they were open. Now, I wish God could give you an immediate test to see whether you truly are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you are truly saved. All of you say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. But do you realize that the Savior anticipates what is going to happen in the coming day? And he said, many of you will say unto me in the coming day, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say unto you, I never knew you. How sad. But I've said, Lord. He says, you say Lord, but you do not know me. And I wish that there were a test today that would immediately manifest itself when a man says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they believed that Jesus was able to open their eyes was immediately demonstrated. Why? Because he said, according to your faith be it done unto you. And he touched their eyes, and immediately they were open. Was there any doubt? You say there could be no doubt. If their faith in Christ's power was not genuine, then when he touched their eyes, nothing would have happened. And what is so sad is this. Some of you confess Christ as Savior, and if Christ put you to the test, you would be found lost. That is what is so sad. But what happens is this. The blind men immediately had it manifested that they believed that Jesus could do it. But you who say, Lord, Lord, it is not going to be manifested now. But in the coming day, when you stand before God, the books are going to be opened, and then it will be known whether you have genuinely trusted Christ as Savior, whether you believed in his power. Now, the remarkable thing is this. that some, just as these blind men believe in his power, some know of that power, even though they are not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the centurion. The centurion has a sick servant, and the Lord Jesus is going to come and heal that servant. But the centurion says to him, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof, but speak the word, and my servant shall be healed, because I am a man under authority, and I have those under my authority. And what I say to them, they do. And what I'm told to do, I do. I understand. Now, I want you to heal my servant." And the Lord Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Isn't this a remarkable thing? Did the blind men believe that Jesus was able to open eyes? Why, of course they did. And did this centurion believe to such a degree? He said, "It's not necessary for you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy that you should do that. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be made whole." Here is one who believes in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the belief in that power must of necessity come from God, because you cannot believe in Christ's ability to perform miracles unless it comes from God. How do I know? Tell me this truthfully. Do you believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a burning, fiery furnace, and it not only did not harm them, but they came out of it without even the smell of smoke upon their garments? You can't believe that. It's impossible for you to believe that of yourself. And yet, for those whose hearts have been touched and whose understanding has been enlightened by the Spirit of God, not only do you believe it, but you're ready to risk your life upon it. And so I laugh. I'm not able to believe such an incredible story, and yet I know it's true. Who could believe that Jonah was swallowed by that great fish and was in the belly of that great fish 3 days and three nights? Nobody could believe that. It's like something my mother told me about a long time ago. It was humorous. And there was this black man that had his church, and before anybody became a member of his church, he had to ask them questions. And so one man came and he wanted to become a member. And the preacher said to him, "Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by that great fish?" And he thought a moment and he said, "Yes." He said, "Do you believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into that burning fire furnace and came out unharmed, not even smelling of smoke?" And he thought and thought and thought, and he said, "No, I don't believe that." And he said, "And I don't believe that fish story you told me either." Why? It's humorous, but it isn't humorous. It's true. You can't believe a story about Jonah, and you can't believe about the three Hebrew children. It's impossible for you to believe it unless God enlightens you and empowers you to believe it. You see, there is the gift of faith. Now, if you lived in the day of Christ, it would be evident that these miracles were performed by Christ. This is what you must understand, that never in all the accusations given by the enemies of Christ did they ever deny that he worked miracles. Not once was it ever denied, but they hated him and they said, "Yes, he works miracles, but he does it by the power of Beelzebub." Please notice, they could not deny that he worked miracles, but they could say his power comes from another source. But we are told the power of God was with him to heal. And therefore, we must believe in the power of the Lord Jesus to open blind eyes. But more than that, our Savior asks a similar question of Martha. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And the Lord Jesus said, your brother shall live again. And she said, yes, Lord, I know that he shall rise again at the last day. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one that comes into the world. She did not know completely how to believe, but she believed in his person and in his power, and eventually she committed herself to his power. The sad thing is this, that some of you are asked the question, do you believe that Christ is able to open blind eyes? And you have to say no. Do you believe he's able to raise from the dead? And you say no. But if you do not believe in the miraculous power of Christ, then our faith is vain, because two have gone to heaven, Enoch and Elijah, without dying, but everybody else has died. And the Lord Jesus said, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth, the ones that have done good unto the resurrection of life and the ones that have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. The Lord Jesus said, the world is waiting for my voice before there is that resurrection. And so if you do not believe in the power of Christ to heal the sick, more than that, to raise the dead, you are not saved. Why? Because Paul says, you are yet in your sins. If he's not able to raise from the dead, he's not able to raise himself. But he has. Now, you say there's another one. The Lord Jesus asked Simon, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. But I'm thankful that he got a correct evaluation of that love. He had boasted, though everybody denied him, he would never deny Christ. He would never forsake Christ. And he's the one who did it most miserably. With oaths and curses, he denied that he even knew who Jesus was. And so now, he who had boasted of his great devotion to Christ, the first thing the Lord says is this, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter will not answer that question. He says, Lord, you know that I love you. He did not say more than all of these. And then the Lord asked him again with a different word. And he says, Lord, you know that I love you. But he won't use that word. And finally, the Lord Jesus says, well, in the least possible way, do you love me? And then Peter says, you know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. And the Lord accepts that answer. And he says, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And so you have to love the Lord Jesus. And that is the proof. And I do not know if you love the Lord Jesus. Because Paul tells us, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And so with all of this profession, I believe who Jesus is. I believe in his power. But you do not have love, then you are not saved. Because it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love. And if that love isn't there, no matter what you can do, notice, he has the gift of prophecy. He knows all mysteries. He has all knowledge. He has all faith. But he doesn't have love, and so he's nothing. And that is what is so important. And you say, yes, I love the Lord Jesus. Well, let me ask you this. The Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Of course you remember the Lord Jesus each Lord's Day morning, don't you? You say, no. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the point is this. He says, if you love father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. And if you love son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. And so before you say, Lord, you know I love you. Peter could say it, and the Lord knows. But I've seen the children of God, and I do not know that they love the Lord Jesus. They can say they love him. They can say they know who he is. But it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so it's not some emotional, sentimental experience you have, but it is a dedication of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a life of obedience to the Savior, so that we would be able to say with Paul, I know nothing against myself. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. But you say, well, I can love Jesus. I have this sentimental feeling in my heart, and so I know I love Jesus. It means nothing. It says, if you see your brother in need and shut up your compassion from him, how does the love of God dwell in you? And it says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And so you have to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe as Job did. He said concerning God, he said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be restrained. And Peter did show by repentance and a life of service and devotion that he did love the Lord Jesus. So God asked those questions through his Son many years ago, and he asks them today, do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe in his power? Do you love the Lord Jesus? And if you cannot answer even one of these correctly, you are lost. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know how easy a thing it is to pass from death into life, and let us know how hard a thing it is. And our God, we think of those who in the coming day shall hear your Son say, depart from me, I never knew you. Let us not deceive ourselves into saying that we love the Lord Jesus, and yet we do not the things that he commands us. But our Father, let us search our hearts, and then when we pray, let us not be like that poor father whose son was demon-possessed, who said, if you can do anything, help us. Our Father, we pray that we shall understand that he can do all things, and that no power of his can be restrained. And so let us, our Father, know who he is and what he can do, and let us trust him to do those things in our lives. And our Father, let us be able to say with truth, Lord Jesus, I love you. Grant us these things, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.